Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go.
This is All About Wine, a talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009, featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
From coast to coast and around the world.
No, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Post your questions and comments during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. Again, that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. And now, All About Wine is on. Here's
Ron. Hi. There we go. Okay. Thank you, bus people. Thank you.
Last minute. Thank you very much. Wow,
yeah,
they're just doing stuff.
I know. All excited. Excited about the show, and they're also excited that we can have Tobin James on as our guest too. That's, you know, they were getting all excited about that too. Before the show, we talked to them a little bit about Tobin being on, and they were all, you know, happy about that. So, welcome to All About Wine. This is Thursday, September the 28th, 2023, and it's 7:01. So, if you're listening to us live, that all should jive with your calendars. If you're not, and thank you for listening in archives, you know, as a lot of people do. And so, let's see, anything exciting, interesting in the world that we need to discuss first before we bring Tobin in? I don't think so. You know, it's, I think tonight is our harvest moon, isn't it? Tonight's our full moon for harvest moon. So that's coming up tonight. And then last big moon we have for this year. And then we go back to smaller moons. But the moon actually rotates away from
smaller
the Earth. What's that? Yeah,
the
smaller moon. Actually, the moon rotates away from the Earth just a little bit further, and it doesn't make it look as big when it rises in the west, so, or in the east. So, yeah, so it's a matter of semantics, is all. So, but I guess that's all. Nothing else exciting and new in the world.
Right.
Again, any disasters that we have, you know, Libya and still people starting to recover from Ian and stuff in California. Donate to the American Red Cross. Best way to get it, and then pinpoint what you want it to go to, and they will get it to that. So, all right. We have ourselves a guest tonight. What was it? 3 weeks ago, we had Terry on.
August 31st, I think. Was it August 31st? Wow.
Was it that soon?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that was about 3 weeks ago, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was exactly 3 weeks ago. Wow. So, no, I was pretty good on that. I never remember that well. So, 3 weeks ago, we had Terry James on the show. He was an actor for a movie called Wine Thief. And throughout his talk with us, he was constantly bringing up his brother, Tobin. And how great the winery is and how they recorded or how they filmed at the winery and all that. And he was just nothing but praises. So tonight we have Tobin on from Tobin James Cellars is what it is. It's I kept saying winery, but it's Tobin James Cellars. And he's waiting in the green room, so we will bring him out and if I can find my cursor, we'll bring him on the show. Welcome to All About Wine, Tobin.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. Thanks for having me on, man.
Oh, I'm glad you took the time to join us. Okay, now, there's two things before we go any further. I was reading your website. You go by Toby. Is that not correct?
If we're drinking buddies, it's Toby. But if you're going to spank me, it's Tobin.
Okay,
so.
Well, I'm not going to spank, so I would rather drink with you. So why don't we go with Toby?
Yeah, yeah. That was my mom, you know, when I was in trouble. Tobin.
Oh, I know.
You know.
Yeah, I know. Moms do that. Yeah. Tobin. I was really curious about that name. Where did that come from?
You know, it's Irish. And
what is
you,
it?
My nickname's Toby. Everybody calls me Toby. And that is the. A beer, one of those Irish beer mugs with a face on it, that's called a Toby.
Oh.
So I'm 85% Irish.
Okay. Yeah, I'm like 65-70% Irish myself. So, yeah. Tobin, I never considered that as Irish. I just didn't think about it. Oh. All right.
There's not many of us around, believe me.
I can imagine. Well, not around here. Maybe if we go to Ireland, we can find a bunch of them. But, you know, but not here. You're right. So, you heard me talk about your brother just going on and on about how great Tobin James Sellers was, and you know how great it was to record the movie there and all that. Oh, I have a lot of questions. Okay, let's start out with the movie since I just mentioned that. Wine Thief. Were you approached to do the movie there, or did you find out and volunteer the place, or what was the background on that?
Well, my brother Terry, he kind of came up with the concept of the movie. And and myself being, you know, I've got my winery, Tobin James Sellers, now for 36 years. And everybody, you know, I'm in the tasting room quite a bit, and everybody's just – Americans are just really curious about wine, and so I thought we would, you know, we both thought that maybe filming a wine show, you know, a movie about the wine industry, people are very curious about wine, and so it was really a natural, and we filmed, you know, a lot of it in the winery itself, so there's bottling lines and barrels and tanks and just kind of eye candy, if you ask. For me, it's eye candy, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he told us about the movie a little bit and all that. I asked him not to give any of it away, so people will go out and see it. So he said it'd be released in right after the first of the year, maybe right before Christmas or something. So we've got that to look forward to. So the Tobin James Winery, or Sellers, I'm sorry. Tell us how it came about and a little bit of background on you and stuff like that. I read your bio and all that, but, you know, for our listeners, tell us your background and all that.
Yeah, what happened was like my brother Terry started a vineyard in Cincinnati. Actually, it was in Indiana, but just about 40 minutes from Cincinnati. But, you know, I grew up 12 years old on you know, working on a vineyard, planting vines and putting up trellis and, you know, bush hogging and things. And I kind of just got into my blood, you know, and I said, well, you know, someday, you know, I think I want to, you know, make wine. We got a vineyard. I'll learn how to make wine and we'll make some wine, you know. And I came out to California in 1980. And 87 was my first vintage under my label, but I came out in 1980, and Paso Robles had two stoplights, and you know, it was no man's land, you know, right in between L.A. and San Francisco. You been here?
I've been all over Paso Robles. I used to love to go there. I lived in California back in the mid to early 80s, and I used to love to go down to Paso Robles, more so, I think, than Napa, because there was a lot of little boutique wineries there at the time. Well, I shouldn't say a lot, because back then there was maybe two dozen at the most. And then I visited again about, about 14 years, 15 years ago, And oh my gosh, the thing had exploded. There was wineries all over the place. Yeah.
It's even, you should, 15 years ago, you ought to see it now. I think there's getting on 300 or, you know.
Oh,
like
my gosh.
In Paso, you know, just not even, you know, that doesn't count county, you know,
right.
San Luis Obispo County. I'm standing on my porch. I'm looking at three wineries off my porch or my house. I mean, it's.
Oh, gee. I know it's just 6 months. Well, I came in from the east when I drove up there 15 years ago, and I probably passed by your winery. I mean, if you're on,
you did.
I had to pass by it.
Yeah,
and,
should have stopped.
Yeah, really. I had no idea. Well, I might have went in there because I visited like three or four of them along there. I can't remember what they were and all that, but I went west of one and over the west side of Paso Robles and visited all those little small places there. People had 6-7 acres and their tasting rooms were in their garages and stuff like that. And I visited a whole bunch of those little small ones. And
that's where I live. I'm on the off Vineyard Drive on the west side, and I'm looking out, you know, like I say. So yeah, those are the good old days.
Yeah, that's all that. So I'm familiar. You know, I got carried on there, but I'm familiar with the area there. It's just a gorgeous area, you know, perfect climate and all that stuff. So you were saying, so you moved to California in the 80s and did what?
Well, I came out and a winery said, you know, I met Gary Eberle, who's a kind of a, you know, the godfather of the wine business here in Paso. I met him and he said, come on out. We can't pay you, but we'll give you, they had like a cowboy bunkhouse, you know, kind of a deal. Mm. And they said, you can crash out in there. And, you know, I got a little mini bike and I could drive it up to the winery and, they didn't pay me, you know,
we won't
pay
you, but we'll work your butt off and give you a place, you know, room and board. You know, that's about it.
Yeah. You just, you know, board. Yeah. Just room really. And then, you know, I outworked everybody else, all the guys that are paying. So they go, hey, man, we want to, you know, harvest was over, you know. And so I was going to go back east and make wine out of my brother's grapes. And they go, we want you to stay. We want to hire you, you know. I said, okay. And I just kind of figured I would learn more, you know, and get paid doing it and then go back. But I haven't looked back.
Uh-huh.
And so, I don't know if you want the whole story. It's a good story. Well, okay. So I worked for the winery, and then Gary branched off to start his own winery. And he asked me to go along and be his assistant winemaker. And one day, a guy I knew that from the first winery, he managed the vineyards, and he managed a bunch of vineyards, and one day he drove up to Eberle with 6 tons of grapes that he took them to the winery that was supposed to buy them, but they go, oh, no, those are no good. Those are no good. They wouldn't take them, you know. So he's got 6 tons of Zinfandel in 3 2-ton gondolas, and the only way you can get them out of the gondola is go to a winery, and you get a crane,
right.
and you dump them, you know. So he came to Eberle because he knew I worked there, and Gary Eberle said, well, we don't make Zinfandel. And then the guy said, well, I'll just give them to you. They're free. Just get them out of my truck. And Gary says, no, we don't want them. I said, well, can I make some wine out of them? Yeah. And so that was Tobin James' first vintage, 1987.
This is
Ron, the best part is the guy, the vineyard manager driving a truck, now I'm married to his daughter.
Oh, you're
yeah, and his other daughter Monica is like the winery manager, and we've got 55 employees. So it's, you know, it's a big job. We hire, you know, when I started the winery, it's just me. You know, I'd make wine at night and then pour wine at tasting room all day, and I'd make wine at night. You know, I don't have a trophy winery, you know, where some guy's a billionaire from, you know, .com or something. I did it the right way, you know, got my hands dirty. And most of these guys that own wineries up here, they never hook up a hose to a tank or anything.
No.
Trophy winery guys, you know what I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah, I know. And sad thing is, there's a lot of those that are happening, not just in California, but also in places like New York, and we can name a few areas that it's happening. And you know, it's and they're wanting, you know, $250, $300 for a bottle of their wine and all that because their name's on it. So
it's the ego thing.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it really is. So your first vintage sold well, or the people go?
Yeah, what happened was, these free grapes. You know, all of a sudden, I started fermenting them, and it smelled like Willy Wonka's raspberry chocolate factory, and I'm going, whoa! I mean, you know, it can't be any good. Why would the other winery turn them down if they were no good, you know? I mean, so I'm like, wow, man. I go, I don't know, man. It's tasting pretty good. So I bottled it up and you start sending it to Orange County, you know, the Orange County Fair, you know, in L.A. and all over. You start getting gold medals and double golds and, you know, silvers and all kinds of medals, you know. Back when that meant something, but
that's back when it meant something. Yeah, yeah. Now everybody gives medals for everything. You know.
Yeah, you can pay those. Yeah, so
yeah,
and of course, back then, Ron, nobody, you know, I'd go try to sell my wine. My name's Tobin James. I got a winery in Paso Robles. They go, is that West Texas or East Texas? I go, no, man, that's El Paso.
Yeah.
And now, my God, people in Europe know about Paso Robles.
Oh yeah, it's exploded in its popularity.
I saw it from the very beginning.
Yeah, I was around there, you know, just before you got there, even, and I saw how small it was, and then how it just exploded over the years. It's just amazing. So, let's forward to the fact that now you are making wine, and your next step is to break away from the guy that you are making wine at and do your own place. So how does this all come about?
Well, what happened also was, you ever heard of Peachy Canyon?
Yeah.
Winery?
Yeah.
Well, I was their first winemaker.
Oh, were you?
And
wow. Okay.
Yeah. And so what happened was Peachy Canyon, it was called Tobias, coincidentally, at that time, but they had a small winery. It was just like kind of like a barn. And so I said, well, listen, man, I'll make your wine and you don't have to pay me, but I can make my wine in the same winery. He had one half, I had one half. And he said, oh, okay. You know, and so we were both a couple thousand cases each, but I made a wine for them that was like 69th best in the world in the Wine Spectator. I didn't even know what a Wine Spectator was. Yeah, so it was like, whoa. These guys came down, took pictures, and interviewed us. And so Peachy Can just took off, you know.
Yeah.
And,
oh, my God.
Just a lot of, man, just a, I should have just made a story out of, you know, the way things went down. But it was, you know, and they did, and Peachy Canyon now is, you know, it's a household name here. But so then I bought, you know, some land on 46 and on Highway 46 and built, you know, this winery just, you know, by myself. And now I got 55 employees and we sell all over the country and world. And
how many acres do you have total under vine and the building and everything?
We've got our property. We have about 100, acres for our winery, but we need 400 to 500 acres to supply the winery. You know how it is. Like every single winery in Paso Robles buys grapes from somebody else. You know, even though they have their own vineyard. You know, we don't grow any white grapes in Paso Robles, so we get our Chardonnay and Chenin Blanc and Riesling and stuff from Monterey County or Santa Barbara County. Everybody does it. You know, it's the same thing for everybody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So how many acres of grapes do you have then of vineyards?
We've got about 75, at the winery. Yeah, at the winery right there. And primarily what I did was I planted Cabernet, Cab Franc, and Merlot. So what? This is back in my desperate days, you know. I could blend them all together and make one wine, a Bordeaux, or I could just keep them separate. You know, I had that option if it turned out that way. And right now we blend them together and we make our one of our wines. We just make kind of a Bordeaux blend with it.
Mm, okay. And then you get your white grapes, you say, from both Monterey and Santa Clara counties?
Monterey and Santa Barbara County.
Santa Barbara, okay.
Yeah, it's a little cooler, you know, and a little closer to the ocean. And Paso, yeah, we're not known for white wines, you know, and there's really no reason to, you know, when you get a better price for red, you know, it's hard to get, you know, a high price for a white wine, you know, anyway. So there's not a lot of guys planting it here, but it's too hot, you know, it just burns the fruit out of it.
Oh, I can imagine. And you don't, well, I was going to say you get some influence from the ocean up through the valleys there, don't you? I mean.
Yeah, the Templeton Gap, they call it. But like I say, you might as well plant Pinot Noir there where you can, I don't know if your listeners like to hear about, you know, the economics of making wine, but you get a really good Pinot Noir and you're getting $50, but, you know, if that was a Riesling or a Chardonnay, you're probably getting, you know, 20 or 25 or something. So,
and it's still using up the same amount of land. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. You got the same tractor. You got the same, you know, all the, you know, you plant what you're going to, in the bottle, what you're going to get the best retail for is kind of how it works.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Being in the business as long as I have, a lot of people just love red wine. You know, I'd say 80-90% people want red, you know.
Yeah, especially
if
you're coming to California.
I like white. Yeah, I like white wine myself personally.
I'm quite diverse on that. I enjoy a good Cab, a good Cab Franc, Zinfandel, any of those. But I'll tell you, I've had some. In fact, just last night I had myself a Sauvignon Blanc that was just really outstanding. And the Rieslings, I've had some dry Rieslings that are phenomenal. So I'm really quite diverse on the wines, but if you're coming to California, though, you think red. I mean, that's just it's almost a mindset that people have. California makes wonderful reds, and so I think that's one of the reasons why you're seeing so much of toward the reds there is because it comes with the territory.
On our label, the main feature on our label is the sun, and that's the first winemaker in winemaking because a grapevine is got these things called leaves, which are solar panels, you know, that creates all that beautiful sunshine, and the vine pumps that into the grapes, and then when we've turned it into wine, it's got a bright, shiny flavor to it, you know. I mean, it's
liquid sunshine. Liquid sunshine.
I call it liquid sunshine, liquid Paso Robles. And this year, I don't know if you've heard about the harvest this year.
I've been keeping up on it. I haven't shared it with my listeners yet, so I'll let you do that right now. Obviously, you're going to tell me.
Okay. Well, you know what? Without weather, our business would be, you know, not very exciting. But every year you have a, you know, you have a different summer, you have a different spring. Everything's different, you know. Everything makes sure there's not, you know, the wine tastes the same every year. You know,
true.
It gives it some variation. And this year we have had a really mild summer. It's just really incredible. We should probably be 75% done with the crush. We haven't even brought in any red grape.
Wow.
Because it's been such a mild summer. And this could mean two things. It could be really cool, you know, that it's a really nice, cool growing season. But what happens the farther we get into the fall, the more chance it might start raining because, you know, we don't even see a cloud for, you know, 8 months, 9 months. Yeah. We don't even see a cloud out here, but we don't want to start harvesting in November. It might start raining, you know. Very
and
interesting.
Then you can't get out there, and it's all muddy, and you got to. Oh yeah, that creates all sorts of problems.
The vines soak up the water, and they push it back into the berries, which dilutes them. So now you got to leave them on longer, you know.
Right.
But
yeah,
I've seen every kind of harvest.
Yeah, well, you know, mild summer has affected all of California, though. It's not just in Paso Robles; it's been everywhere. It's really the harvest. I mean, here we are heading toward the end of September, and a lot of wineries are usually done with their harvest, and they haven't started it. I mean, it's amazing.
Right. Yeah. I heard Napa is on target, you know, but it's just like the Central Coast is a big state, you know, so what happens in Paso in Napa is two different things.
Well, Sonoma is running late on their harvest, from what I've read and people I've talked to. And the same thing with Monterey. They're running behind on normal harvest. And let's see, there was a couple other areas that Mendocino is behind.
It's incredible, but we're a month behind. A month.
Wow. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that really is. But that.
But
could,
you know what? It'll make for a memorable year, I'm sure.
And it could make for some fantastic wine, too, as long as you don't get any rains. That could be just some phenomenal wines coming there. Because let that fruit set and get those sugars up a little bit, and that's going to be great. As long as you don't get rain.
Yeah, you know what? If you have grapes on the vine for a long time, that's kind of good. But then they get kind of, you know, they start getting a little bit tired, you know, and then you put rain on them and they go downhill real quick. If it rained in, you know, July, August or something, you know, they're still real tough.
Right.
So
yeah.
We'll see what happens. It'll be interesting.
So Ron,
this kind of thing would have freaked me out when I was young and I was broke, you know, because I need that next vintage, you know. So
yeah,
I would freak out, and I'm sure a lot of small wineries probably doing that.
Oh, no question about that. I mean, you know, they're, you know, one little crop, they live crop to crop, and you know, if something isn't right, it could, you know, really hurt them, And there's a lot of small wineries around Paso Robles. I mean, a lot of them. It's just amazing. So you brought in a couple of people. Well, you didn't bring in. You met a couple of people that were interested in having a winery themselves, Lance and Claire. And
right.
Give me the story behind how they became part of Tobin James.
Okay. First, I'll tell you, it's the luckiest thing or best thing that ever happened to me because, you know, I'm like, if you came in the wire and said, I don't have any money, I go, here, I'll just give it to you, you know, send, you know, just mail me a check, you know, but, you know, because I was focused on making wine, you know, and Lance and Claire, they had a, you know, a passion to get into business. And, you know, they pretty much handle, you know, the business part now, and they're great winemakers too, you know. And what happened was I would all of a sudden I'm making wine, and then you know you got to sell it to wholesalers, right? So I'd be off in Florida or, you know, Southern California and doing winemaker dinners because nobody heard of Paso Robles.
Right.
And so, and then I come back, and the winery was in chaos, you know, because it wasn't there wasn't somebody there, you know, the cat's away, the mice play, you know, that kind of thing. But
right.
I met these guys, and they go, "Hey, man, we want to get in the business." I said, "Well, I said, work for me, you know, when I'm gone, you know, then you look after things." And they're so good at it that I said, "You guys, I want you to be partners in this. I really want you to have your heart and soul in it." And to this day, they've got their heart and soul in it and make sure everything runs great. And I can go goof off and be the goofball, you know, doing the winemaker dinner and I get all the glory when those guys, they do, you know, the really important stuff, but they're winemakers too, you know, but so.
Yeah, that's important to have someone that you can really rely on like that and have them take care of stuff. And
you know, I'm a winemaker at heart, and I'm not a guy that, hey, we got to hire people or, you know, we got to order T-shirts. Or I go, oh, man, I can't do that. You know, I don't want to do that, you know. I'm sure any you know, I like having my nose, you know, in a barrel when I'm filling it up. And I like that, you know, I like, you know, filtering and you know, doing the winemaking stuff is, you know, what really, you
your
know,
passion.
We make a
yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't want to call it passion.
It is.
Yeah. But you know, I know when I'm filling a barrel, there's 23 cases someday that the bottles are going to be on somebody's dinner table, man. And I took good care of it, and they're with their friends and family, and they've got some, you know, some pasta dish in their castle, and they're drinking our wine, having a good time. And I never lose focus of that, you know,
we're
in the business of making people happy.
That's a good attitude. That's a great attitude on that. Lance and Claire then have been with you since what, 80 or what, 96 was it?
No, not that long.
Look
about,
at the paper.
I'm really bad on dates, but it's about 15, 18 years, something like that. 18.
Yeah. Well, here's a.
I don't even know my kids' birthdays. Mom.
Let's see. I'm trying to see where it's set a date on here. I'm trying to look at the website here and see if I thought I saw a date that was okay. You built the wine in 93 and they joined you in 97.
I don't remember.
Well, it says that's when they started the Tobin James Wine Club in 97. So they had to have been with you probably at least a year or so before that. Oh, here it is, 96, yeah. So 96 is when you partnered up with them. So there you go.
Okay.
Make a mental note of that. So if you ever ask again, you can just throw that right out. I want to talk about your wines. You know, you talked that the Zinfandel was your first wine that you made. Are you still making a Zinfandel?
Oh, I think we make about 15. make about 15 of them, you know. I'll tell you what, it's the wine we you know, we hang our hat on. It's such a cool grape. You can do so much with it. Every vineyard's really different. It's got what I like in a wine, which is, you know, a lot of fruit, you know, the jammy raspberry thing.
Yeah, that's so nice.
And so to this day, we still hang our hat. When I first started making wine, you know, it was a garbage grape. It was, they made white zin out of it, you know.
Yeah, oh, a lot.
They don't do that. They don't do that anymore.
It's too expensive.
Know? Yeah, now we're getting, you know, we get 50, 60 bucks for some, you know, even more for some of our Zinfandels. Passarolas in the glass.
Well, okay, you say you make so many different Zinfandels. Wait, you have different vineyards? You have that many different vineyards? Or what, you make one and Claire makes one and Lance makes one? And I mean, how are you making so many different
Zinfandels? We don't do that. We have all these different Zinfandel vineyards. And
oh,
some
of
them.
Okay.
Yeah, a whole bunch of them. And a lot of times, you know, you can move Zinfandel 3 or 4 miles and it tastes all different, you know, because maybe there's a little more coastal influence or it's hotter or cooler, but it really, Cabernet doesn't change like that. You know, usually, you know, it's got a really steady flavor to it, but Zinfandel, you know, and what's cool about that is if we get one that, you know, we get a Zinfandel from a vineyard that's got, you know, a lot of cherry to it or something. And then we get another vineyard, and that Zinfandel's got some raspberry to it. And then we get another vineyard that has a little bit of raisin flavor to it. You know what? You can blend those, you know, and just makes it's like in your it's like in your kitchen. You don't just use salt; you use garlic powder and, you know, cumin or whatever. You know, you can blend them all together. It's more fun.
Yeah, and to get different results too. Yeah, you can do all sorts of stuff with it. So that's how you get all of your different Zinfandels. And you know,
exactly.
You have a late harvest Zinfandel. Now, is it late harvest?
You have to have something for dessert.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. And, you know, a late harvest Zin, though, I mean, you when I think of late harvest, I think of a sweet Botrytis wine. Is it?
Yeah, it is.
It is?
It's here's what would happen, Ron. It's like I was so broke that, you know, there's, you know what second crop is? Like, that's when, you know, you have your first set of grapes, but then some grapes, you know, come on your vine later, and there's not a lot of them, but so you don't pick, you know, if they're not really red, then you don't pick them, you leave them on the vine, and then the vineyard owner is not going to go back and re-pick them. He just says, no. Toby, go ahead, you can have them. You know, the birds are eating them, go ahead, get them. So I would go out and get these grapes that were really ripe, and they've got juicy, you know, pruny, raisiny flavor, chocolate, you know, raspberry,
right.
And I started making late harvest, and people loved it, man. It's just liquid. We call it liquid love.
Yeah. Well, late harvest is done right. Is liquid love. I mean, it just surprised me with that. I saw that you had a late harvest Zinfandel, and it's really reasonably priced, $20. That's
The important thing is we've been selling it for 30 something years, you know. It's not like we made it once, you know. People like it. They go back for it.
We
make Toby Teenies. We make a champagne that you just mix the two together, and it's like a party, you know. You put a little bit of it in your champagne. It's just kind of a fun thing. We like having fun.
Yeah. Well, okay, now, while we're talking about dessert wines, what is a charisma?
Charisma is the same thing, but we make it more kind of a blush wine, more of a, you know, so it'd go with a strawberry shortcake or something, you know, a lighter, like The liquid love, the late harvest Zin, goes with, you know, chocolate and things like that. But
you know,
we want something that, yeah.
Yeah.
It's all about fun, you know, kind of a.
Right.
It's just something to round out people's evening.
And then the port, is that Zimino grape also?
Yeah. It's just like any wine we make, you know, usually it's, you know, Zinfandel, but it might not be, might be a blend of certain things. Every year is different. And so it's a port style wine.
Yeah.
With the high alcohol
port.
And.
Yeah. Yeah. I made a strawberry port when I had my winery, and it was very good. Okay, let's see. Now, I'm looking at your wine on your website here. Your Tempranillo, you getting that from that and the Sauvignon Blanc and the Chardonnay, all from Paso Robles or Santa Barbara?
Well, the Tempranillo we get here in Paso Robles, but the Chardonnay and what'd you say, Riesling, we get those
Sauvignon
from
Blanc.
Sauvignon Blanc. We get those from Monterey County.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But Tempranillo, you actually grow that yourself? And
We have a small patch of it. And the other thing about when you're growing, when you're buying grapes, you're growing them, you know, you don't want to plant, 200 acres of a certain grape varietal. And then you only need 100 acres of it, you know, because we have to eventually sell it in Kroger's or wherever. But if you have, you know, you want to sell your wine for 365 days and then run out on January 1st and then you start your next, vintage. But, of course, it's never going to work out that way, you know. But you don't want to sell it for 10 years the same vintage, you know. So it's hard to gauge, but you want to sell out. And so it all depends on how the market is and what, you know, I mean, remember that Sideways they did, I Hate Merlot, right?
Right,
well,
yeah.
It was like the most famous grape, and then a movie comes out, and all of a sudden sales drop off, you know.
Yes,
so
it did.
Everything in our business takes a long time. You got to plant a grape. It takes 3 years to get a small crop, the third year. And then by the time you're making the wine, well, maybe everybody quit drinking that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you always have that problem where you don't know what's going to be the big seller in a few years, you know. Yeah.
I think that's settled down a little bit. And our area, like Syrah's real big, Cabernet, you know, Syrah is pretty. That's Muhammad Ali around here, man. It packs a punch. And
well, you know, people are so used to the Australian Syrahs that is lighter and fruitier, and then they start getting those ones that we do in California with a little bit more body and a little bit more character than just a light fruity Australian Syrahs, and it surprises them. Surprising that it can be made in that style. They're just not used to it because of what Australia has fed people.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a technique on what sugars they pick their grapes at, and our winery always tends towards, you know, we want ripe grapes. You know, like that banana is green, yellow, brown, you know. We kind of pick them in between yellow and brown, you know, to give it a lot of flavor. It's just our style. That's what our customers, you know, they're a little high alcohol, but, you know, that's
say,
what our.
What does your alcohol run on your wines then, since you're picking them?
I don't think we have one under 14.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, we probably do, but, I mean, they're always bigger. We have a kind of a cult following, you know, and that's, they want a big, bold wine. We got the best customers in the world, and we're, That's the way we like them. That's the way we started making them. That's the way we still do. You know, big, powerful wines that, yeah.
Yeah, that's what they're still looking for. Imagery. My wife just brought me in Cabernet Sauvignon Imagery from Imagery Winery. This is located in, I have no idea.
In Paso?
Ripon, California.
Yeah, I don't need, that's not us.
No, R-I-P-O-N. I don't know where that is. She should have brought me one.
I do have a question from Facebook, one of our followers on Facebook, if possible, if we can run that through again. I don't want them. I mean, they've been waiting for this.
Sure.
They want to know, did you enjoy the film process, and what was it like having a film made about you?
I love it, man. You know, you guys, it was, you know, I've done a lot of things in my life, and making this movie was fun. A lot of it wasn't my idea. You know, they had a writer and they had a director and my brother, you know, doing the, it's not a documentary. It's kind of a comedy, but at first, you know, it was kind of a hassle, but then I started to really love it. It was fun, you know, it got pretty fun. I'd do it again, you know, there's no doubt. I can't wait for it to come out. And I think when we made the film, I said, I want people to learn about wine while we're doing it, you know, why not, you know? And so it was fun. So
what was the time frame from the time you first started to film until when it was a wrap, as they say?
It took about a year because what happened was they all came out here, but it took about 2.5 weeks to film it. And then they got back and started editing. And I go, listen, you guys, they showed me, you know, a copy. And I said, we have to have more tanks and barrel, because that's what people want to see, you know.
Yeah,
bottling lines, all that. So we came out and filmed for another week and got the things that I thought that, you know, yourself and viewers want to see, you know, how the insides of a winery, you know,
operations,
how they work. And yeah, so, and it worked out great. They all agreed at the end of, but you know, they're not winemakers, you know, they're not in the business. That's why that was, you know, part of my input was, you know, let's get some winery stuff in there. I love a cellar floor with tanks and bottling lines and crushers and stemmers. And, you know, it's just beautiful stuff.
Yeah. Whenever you see films that have anything to do with wineries, you always see that stuff. That's really interesting to watch the proceeds of that and all that. In fact,
you know, the thing is, we're farmers, you know, and we bring these, people don't really think, they see a wine, they think some little wine elves go out there and make. No, we go out there and we test the grapes and we pick them by hand and we're farmers and we bring them into the winery and we create a miracle when we get them on a cellar floor in the tanks and we ferment them, and it's a miracle. It goes from grape juice into wine.
That's,
I mean,
right.
It's just a miracle, and I love it, man.
It's a big difference. So you enjoyed doing the film then? It was something that...
Yeah, it was fun. I can definitely see why I would never want to be in Hollywood making movies. Oh, my God. That would be horrifying. But we did it on a smaller scale, you know. And, you know, you got to do like 10 takes of everything. And but it was fun. I mean, I enjoyed it. It was pretty cool.
Terry really said he enjoyed the time there and doing it and all that too. I remember that quite distinctly.
I was not an actor in it. I mean, I said, no, no. I said, just forget the whole thing. If you're going to make me be an actor, I can't play being some. I can't dress up for Halloween and be somebody else. I just can't do it, you know.
No good at cosplay, huh?
No, no, not at all.
Oh, that's funny. Well, there you go, listener. Thanks for the question. I'm going to get back to your wines here. The vintage dates on these are the reds are like 2018, 2017. What are you keeping them in stainless steel? Are you keeping them in tanks, barrels? What are you doing to
all barrels?
All barrels?
Yeah. Huh?
French oak, American oak?
We use everything. French and American. Probably 50-50, depending on, you know what, Zinfandel, it doesn't want, you know, French oak, you know, probably, and there's certain wines that, you know, let the fruit shine, you know, don't interfere with the, you know, with oak, and everything we do is a recipe, you know, every wine we make has got history behind it, like, well, it was so good, what'd we do, you know, 5 years ago, let's do that recipe because it worked, you know, but everything, all our reds are aged in oak a couple of years. We've gotten to the point, a lot of wineries, they can only age them in there a year because they got to sell them, you know, to stay alive. But
right, yeah.
So we've gotten to the point where we've got our inventories good so we can age the wines ourselves so that you don't have to do it when you get it home and age it in the bottle, you know, for a couple of years. We can age it in, you know, when a wine's in a barrel, it can breathe a little bit, you know, it can just breathe
better
a little
that,
bit.
Yeah.
And so we leave it in there as long as we can. And when you get it, when you go down to the store and you get it on your dinner table, it's ready to go. And it's going to got a nice smooth flavor to it and going to go with whatever food you're making. Doesn't interfere with the food, but it's there, you know. Wine is such a – it's the coolest thing in the world.
Well, yeah, that's the thing with, you know, that's good. I like the fact that you're saying don't age your wines. I used to tell people that with mine. I said, don't age it. Take it home and drink it. It's not going to do any good sitting on your shelf or in your wine rack. Take it home and drink it because this is made to be drank now. You don't have to – age it anymore or anything, because people get this attitude that, well, we need to age this red. No, you don't. You need to drink it. And most of the time, there's a few of them that are made to be aged, but they're made to be drank.
Ron, 100%. I agree with you 100%. Yeah. People, you know, wine's like a pyramid, you know. It goes up, and then it starts going downhill on the other side. It's still good, but maybe you should have drank it on the other side of the pyramid when it was fresh and fruity and lively and vibrant and personality, just like it's talking to you. I think it's movies, you know. They said, oh, you got to age it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? A wine is 20 years old. I'm not going to drink it because it was probably better at 10.
And you don't know how stored and all that stuff, too. I mean, that's
right,
the thing.
Right.
I used to always warn people, you know, don't buy a wine that somebody says, I've had this store for 20 years. Well, where? In front of the fireplace? No, you don't want
Right. Under their bed.
Under their bed, yeah, there you go. I noticed one thing, that most of your wines really are reasonably priced, especially for California and the reds and all that stuff. I mean, they're from, you know, well, here's your, you call it your cash flow red Mediterranean blend, but that's only $15. I mean, you really
the
do have the
best wine
prices.
We make for the price.
You know what?
You want to know why? Because when I started the winery, banks wouldn't lend me any money to get a new this press or whatever bill.
No.
You know, I had to just say I had to scrimp and save, so we don't owe anybody any money, and we're not doing this ego thing where I got to have a helicopter pad out on, you know, and, you know, all that BS, you know, that goes with it. We're a working man's winery. We love you know, to be affordable. I, you know, people that charge, $100, $200. They're thieves. I mean, I know what it costs to make a bottle of wine.
I do too.
somebody in that chain is a thief because they. You know what they say, Ron? If your wine's not selling, double the price.
Yeah,
because Americans fall for that. You know,
yeah.
They fall for that
really
game.
Good,
you know,
yeah.
Where it's so expensive. It's got to be good. When you how you take the gloves off is take our wine, put it in a brown paper bag. You know, at $20 or $20-$30, whatever, and then put it up against that wine that's $100. Let's see who wins.
Yeah,
you know,
there you go.
The person tasting them, and we win every time.
Yeah, and like I say, you're reasonable. I mean, you know, 15 for the Mediterranean blend, 22, 24. You know, that's all of them are really in a good reasonable price range. You got a few down here that are older ones and. Your reserves and stuff like that. But otherwise, your wines are really quite reasonable.
We're proud of that, you know. And that's what our customers, you know, that's what they want. If you're buying wine at $100 a bottle or $150 or whatever, you know, you're not going to drink that every night, but they'll open a bottle of Tobin James every night and have it with their, you know, you get home from work and you had a long day at work and you walk into your castle and maybe you or your wife or whoever, somebody's got some food ready and a glass of Tobin James, man, that you can afford is
comforting.
It just makes your day,
comforting.
You know?
It's just comforting to know that you're not spending.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of money on the wine. You're enjoying it, and it's just a comforting drink. I have to ask you about the winery itself. Your Western theme. You are, I understand, a distant relative of Jesse James.
Well, I mean, kinda, because she's one of my twin daughters, Jessica James, Jesse James. But I don't know. I'm not related to Jesse James, I don't think. But listen, this is important. I was born in California. I know that.
Well, were you originally?
Hard to believe, but yeah, I was born here. And here's the thing about when I moved here in Paso Robles, we had saloons, you know, like a cowboy saloon, you know. And
yeah,
I said, you know what?
Paso Robles was Old West. You know,
cowboys, cowboys,
80s,
man.
Yeah.
And so what I did was I wanted, especially back then, 30 something years ago, people were intimidated by wine. I go, well, you know what? We're going to do a Western saloon kind of thing. And so people don't feel, you know, they don't feel intimidated by wine. And it worked because for a long time, we've been like the number one. If you go on TripAdvisor and look up San Luis Obispo County, we're in the top. You know, we used to be the number one thing to do in the whole county to go to our tasting room. We get 1,000 people on a Saturday through our tasting room.
Oh my gosh!
Because we were informal and we didn't sit down and lecture you. Nowadays, you don't even stand at a tasting bar anymore. They sit you in some
tables.
Couches and I'm like, oh my god,
you got
that's
this
boring.
Little tray of wine set in front of you, and then you can buy a cheese platter if you want. And I
exactly.
know that's
exactly,
and
it costs $40 or $50 per person.
Yeah, yeah, and you're and that's something
we
didn't even
charge. We don't even charge.
Well, it's $20, but it's back when you buy $20 worth of wine, and you're going to do
right.
that because you're going to enjoy
it. The only reason. The only reason that happened is because of COVID. We get those 1,000 people on a Saturday, but you couldn't, you know, the county made you taste outside. You couldn't even go in. Oh, my God, it was a nightmare. You know, so we had to slow it down, you know. We had to slow it down. And so we don't want to charge, but we did, you know, with the COVID thing, what a nightmare that was.
I can imagine. I closed the winery back in 2016, the one I had. And I'm glad I did because I don't think I would have survived COVID anyway. I mean, it just it was a small winery and we didn't have a lot of backup on revenue. So I'm glad I did, but I could not picture how bad it was trying to get through COVID on that stuff. It
was a nightmare. And then we had to taste outside. Then we had all these fires that you're outside. You can barely see the guy over there because there's so much smoke. And, oh, God, we went through hell. All we needed was a good earthquake, and it would have rounded out.
Hey, really? Yeah, it sounded all right there. Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
If you're, huh?
Well, no, go on. I was going to comment about.
Well, you know what? If your people listening haven't been here, it's the center of the universe for me, and I think 99% of people that would come to Paso, it's what they don't go to. I mean, our brother Napa. I mean, I think people have more fun in Paso Robles. We've got more small, unique little wineries, and it's not all hoity-toity and valet parking. And so if anybody, man, if you haven't been to Paso Robles, that's a good thing because you have something to look forward to.
Well, too, it's
wonderful.
$20 for a tasting as opposed to, what, $50, $75, even $100 in some of the wineries in Napa? Oh, my gosh. I mean.
And they keep the money. They don't give it back if you buy a bottle.
That's right. You know,
we don't charge if you buy a bottle, which everybody does anyways.
Yeah, most everybody's going to buy a bottle, so it's, you know, same thing. When I had the winery, I always refunded the tasting. You're building two more buildings for tasting?
No, we have three bars. We started one bar in our main tasting room, and then there were so many people. You know what? One thing I found out, thirsty people make me nervous, you know. So, you know, they walk in and there's so many people they can't taste. So we had to, we found out we had to build more bars.
Yeah. If it's crowded, people turn on and leave. There's enough wineries to go
right.
to around
there. They don't want to sit there. That's what I mean by thirsty people make me nervous.
Yeah. So I have to address your wine club. It's one of the biggest ones in California, I understand. I mean,
word is it's biggest in the world, but, I mean,
really?
There's no government studies on it.
No, there's no comparison. So you can say that, yeah. It's like Morgan & Morgan. I don't know if you have Morgan & Morgan lawyers out there, but Morgan & Morgan is an injury lawyer firm. I think he's all over the country, but he says we're the biggest in the universe. Well, who's going to argue with that point? I mean, you know, so you can,
right?
You know, you can even say you're the biggest in the universe as far as the wine club. But tell us about
the wine
club.
We've never heard of one bigger than ours. We have never heard of one bigger.
Yeah, well, there you go. Then you're the biggest in the universe.
And it's not something I'm brag about or I'm proud about. It's just that we send out a good. It's a good.
Right.
We don't have that. We don't have it that big because people don't like it.
There you go.
Just cancel, you know.
Right. So tell us, how does the wine club work? What is it? What do people
need to join? It's eight bottles twice a year, and it's spring and fall. Our shipment starts going out like end of October when the UPS trucks aren't hot and all that. And
right.
we have like a lot of the wines that come in your we call it the James Gang.
Mm-hmm.
They're great. You know, they're wines you might not even be able to buy because we just our James Gang is so important to us that we put our best wines in there. But if we, you know, let's say we make wine that just enough to go in the wine club, but the vineyard's not big enough to sell it to the, you know, the rest of the country or tasting room, we just put it in the wine club. You know,
oh.
And so they're rare, they're special because We want it's like Christmas. We send a gift every time.
Oh, do you?
And
yeah,
it's like Christmas when they open that box up. They're like, "Wow, our James Gang, you know, wine is here."
Well, this little gift, I understand, is something that Clara hand makes for the members.
Well, she I don't, she doesn't hand make them, but she picks them out, you know.
Oh, that is okay.
The last one we did, we had a cookbook, a 40-dollar gift cookbook, you know. With we have a chef at the winery, and his pictures and all these recipes. It's amazing.
Oh well, that's something that people might be interested in if they come to the winery, like to purchase it. So.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So to join, they just need to go to your website and they can sign up for the wine club.
James
Gang.
That's it. And here's the thing is, we are so phone friendly that you can call the winery and you're going to get a lovely person on the phone that wants to talk to you and find out what you like, wants to tell you all about the winery. That's what we're all about, is customer service. And you're not going to talk to somebody in India, you know. You're not going to be put on hold. You're going to have a good time talking to my girls that are in the office.
Are you open 365 days a year, or what days do you close?
We're closed one day. Christmas Day, that's the only day we're closed.
And
you know why that
there
is? Because I lived above the tasting room, so I'm like, well, Thanksgiving, so what? We're open, man. We're broke. And now we can't shut. We can't shut because people count on us, you know, because Uncle Joe and Aunt Betty are in town. They're going to go, you know, they're cooking food at the house, but let's go taste wine first. You know, we'll taste some wine and go back for dinner and people, they love it. We're only closed one day.
There you go. All right. That's good. Mike, do you have any other questions or comments for Toby before we?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do have another one from, this one's also from Facebook. Thank you very much for tuning in tonight. Really appreciate it. But I would like to ask what are some of your lessons that you learned from farming? And then I have another one.
God, there's so many. You know, if you're at your house, wherever you live in the world, any plant that grows around your house is, you know, hopefully the landscape, the guy, he knows what grows good there, you know. And through the 45 years I've been here, we've narrowed down to which grapes grow the best here, you know, that love to thrive in Paso Robles. And that was always, you know, was interesting as far as the farming was, is finding exactly what grape really likes to thrive here. Because when I moved here, there was, you know, like you said earlier, there was like 10 wineries. And
that's
so you know, we found out what grows really good here. And then growing techniques have changed. You know, you don't want to put too much fruit on your vines. Like if you have an apple tree in your backyard and there's too many apples, none of them are good.
Right.
You know, you can't have a tree, you know, you can't be greedy and you know, you get less apples, but they're better, you know. But that's the same thing with grapes. You might get less grapes, but they're higher quality. And so, you know, that's why we would, you know, if a grower keeps that in mind, then we know to go back to him again next year. He wants to sell us grapes and we want to buy his grapes. So when he finds that balance of, you know, quantity versus quality, that's the most important thing I've learned.
And you know what will grow there too, so that makes a difference.
Yeah, I mean it's coming. You know what? Here's the thing, you guys. You can come to Paso Robles and you're not going to taste a single bad wine. It might not be what your style is, but everybody's a pro here. These guys are good, and they're all making great wine. You'd have to try to find a bad wine here because everybody's doing a great job, and they're all friendly, and it's so. There's great downtown Paso restaurants, and everybody's, you know, in Paso, all the wineries are happy to see you.
Yeah, and they are. When I was there, it was just like, you know, it's like I was home. People greeted me. Every one of them greeted me like I was a friend. So that's very true. Thank you. And Mike, another question?
Yeah, one more question also. What, and I'm not sure if we covered this because I wrote some notes in between this, but what is your favorite grape to farm?
Well, I mean, farm or make wine out of. I think they're probably asking the same thing. Zinfandel, yeah. You know, it's just in my blood. It's got a history with the winery, but Syrah, man, that is, Zinfandel is Clint Eastwood and Syrah is John Wayne, man. I like to put it like that. So you know, Syrah, John Wayne doesn't back up and Syrah doesn't either, man. It's right there in your face. And, you know, Zinfandel is kind of like Clint Eastwood, a sassy gunslinger, you know.
Oh, that's funny.
I really appreciate your Facebook guys for tuning in. That's really cool.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Definitely. Yeah, that's good. Thank them for the questions too. Yeah. So, Toby, before we let you go here, I want you to give all the contact information for the winery. Obviously, the phone number is the most important, but all the contact information, Facebook and address and just everything you can think of that people might want or the way to contact you or something like that, website, all that stuff.
I mean, all you have to do is go to Tobin James, just type in Tobin James and you're going to get our winery, TobinJames.com. And our phone number is 805-239-2204, and just call to say hi. You don't have to buy anything or anything. Just call and say, you know, see what's going on. But
we heard you on All About Wine. Yeah,
we have a lot of parties all year long. We're famous for our parties that we throw at the winery. Zinfest is a big one. People from all over the world attend that. We have like 2,000 people two nights in a row.
Wow.
We're kind of the party guys, you know. I'm getting older, but
Do you have parking for all those people coming in? Do you ever have a problem with parking?
Well, no. We've got a big old lot, you know, that people park at. But a lot of people they do Uber and there's limo. I mean, it looks like the Oscars, man. There's limousines and buses and. We're the party guys, you know. Like I say, I'm getting a little bit older, but you know, we're still the party guys. You know, we think wine's fun. You know, we're not doing any snobby stuff, and we think wine and friends and food and you know family, it's all about. That's what we're all about.
It's all fun. And we don't have to dress up, and you don't have to wear the tuxedo, and you can just come in and whatever you feel comfortable
in. If you come in a tuxedo, we're throwing you out.
There you go.
I'd love to meet you guys someday.
I would love to. If I'm ever out in California, Paso Robles is definitely going to be one of my major stops, and I will make it a point to stop by the winery and visit with you. And if you're not around, I'll be sure that they go get you and bring you there so I can see you.
Okay. And I'd like to meet any of your listeners too. That's what we do, man. We like people.
There you go. So you got an open invitation for all of you out there, all of you listeners. Toby invited you personally to come by and visit the winery. So there you go.
Wait to, Can't wait to see the movie. Yeah, Wine Thief. I hearing about it and watching the trailer, I was like, this is going to be a good one. Be sure to check it out. And that did we I know we talked about it when Terry was on, but was there any kind of prospective date that it was going to be released? Was that earlier in the beginning?
But, yeah, we're hoping first of the year.
Yeah, that's okay. What Terry said. Okay. First of the year, maybe right before Christmas, but first of the year is what he was saying.
Yeah. We'll shoot for that. But definitely check the trailer out. It's on YouTube. I think there's a link on the Facebook page. Someone posted when Terry was there on the show. But check it out and view the trailer, and it looks like a good, entertaining movie. So.
Yeah.
Check it out. Look for the Wine Thief, and hopefully coming out the first of the year. So, good stuff. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Toby. Thank you for taking your time to join us this evening. Very fun, interesting. Had a good conversation, and best of luck with you. And like I say, when I make it out there, I will definitely look you up.
Okay. Had fun with you guys.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Toby. Good night now.
Thank you.
All right.
Oh, there they are.
Okay. Good conversation.
That was it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Good time.
He does have a passion. He does want to call it a passion, but it is. You know, he does have a passion.
Yeah. Let's see. Do we have here?
The Wine Thief. I am looking forward to that now. We're going to have to make ourselves some reminder notes here to let, you know, as we closer to the first of the year, back in, when we get into December, start looking for it to come out and let people know, because that's still, 3 months away, you know.
Look for the trailer on YouTube, and on our Facebook page we'll have a link to it somewhere, but I don't know how far down it's buried, but check out the trailer. And
all we need to do is just go to it and make a comment, and it'll pop back up to the top. So
There you go. Very good. What time is it? Wow, it's 17 after. It's 16 after on the other monitor, but
anyway. That's not unusual. I want to say, let me look here. I want to say we have a guest next week, but
you mentioned John Australian Wine something October, but I think it might have been after October 12th, because I read it out of sequence here. So I don't have any for October.
Let's see. That's 10. The 5th is next. Is that the next week, the 5th? Is that right? Yeah. Today's 28th. So, the 5th is next week, and that's I don't have anything scheduled. But then after that, we got Anna from Naked Wines, and then after that, we got John from talked about Australian wine. So Anna comes in from Naked Wines. Yeah. Everybody knows Naked Wines. They're all on the shelves everywhere. So it should be fun talking with her about that. And so, all right, very good. So nothing next week, no guests next week, but we do a couple weeks after that. And then I might get a hold of someone who's been on before for the 26th, right before Halloween. I'll see what I can do. So,
okay. We will close the show for tonight, a little over time, but that's fine. It was very enjoyable, as always. We'll see you all next week, October 5th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio, The Flight Line, and Facebook, Twitter, I think we're live on there, and YouTube, we're live on there. Oh my gosh, how does that happen? Be safe.
Don't forget to tune in to Flight Line Radio anytime. Mike is live Saturday mornings from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Time.
Very early.
So very early. In fact, Cap, one of our past guests, lives in Oregon. He goes, what are those hours? He goes, oh, forget it. I'm not getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning listening to him. So you just lost the West Coast. Fight Line Radio. He's live, but it's streaming 24/7. And he's going to have a new program that's going to be popping up that you all might find fun and interesting. So stay tuned for that, too.
Monday morning and Wednesday evening. So 7 a.m. Monday and 7 p.m. Wednesday Eastern time. It's 1st and 15th, and that is on the schedule twice a week. So remember that. We're giving them a morning drive time and a evening drive time. So,
cool.
No excuses. Turn into the show. It's very fun. I listen to it on the way to work, and I mean those guys are—they're just the way they talk.
Guys
and sometimes
about just really funny stuff. They're
yeah, it's some of it's unnecessary, but it's funny to hear them talk about it.
I know. And they start on a subject, and about 20 minutes later, they're so far off that main subject that you're going, "How did you get here?"
Very, very entertaining. So, we'll be playing it there. So, have a good week. Thanks, Ian. And, thank you. We'll see you all next time.
See you next time.
All About Wine. Thank you.
Be safe out there.
Press the button.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine, with your host, Juan. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.
And we're off.
Green room.
Okay. That actually worked. Yes, green room.